morning, everybody. It's Matt Pavala here on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up even later with us. I asked Patty's crew to jump downstairs for a few minutes to chat a little bit more about something I heard them talking about on the way in. Patty is here somewhere, but I think she ran to the washroom or something like that. Eric Elk and Ken Jacobowski have joined us, and then Patty will jump back down in a minute. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Doing well. I mean, it'd be even better if we weren't back to fall.
Already. I know. This is crazy. My young sons had a baseball game tonight at 6 o'clock, and I coach first base, and it's in an open field. And the winds were howling at, like, you know, it must have been 30 miles an hour. It must have been like 35 degrees with the wind chill tonight.
Brutal.
And just last night we had a game, and it was like 70 degrees out. It was one day change. It's crazy.
I think Sunday is supposed to be in the 60s yeah. again, and Monday yeah. back to 70.
Yeah, it's going to get nice again. I was telling somebody that I think this is sort of the slap in the face. Like, I was about to complain about the heat this week. At one point, like, oh, we're going to have to turn the air on. I was about to get that. Oh, and then some other nature saying, don't you dare start complaining already that it's getting too warm. Because it's not. Are you checking the weather forecast?
Yeah. 51 tomorrow, 57 Sunday, and then it's mid-60s the rest of the week.
Yeah, basically then it's going to get nice again. That. So you can't be too upset about that. I wanted you guys to jump down to talk real quick about the Kelly Sadler story and John McCain, and you guys were talking about that a little bit. And I'm very curious as to a couple of things about this. One is Trump rails all the time about leaks in his administration. And here she is in a meeting where she makes a what I'm guessing was a flippant comment. McCain is opposing, is it Gina Haspel for CIA director, right?
Correct.
She had run what do we call it, a black ops site or a black site where there was some torture done overseas, right? That's known. She has made comments that she would not support that, but she has acknowledged that she basically did that. And McCain
and destroyed evidence.
And
destroyed evidence. She wanted to make sure
she oversaw the destroying of evidence, right? Or okayed it through her boss.
She oversaw the destruction.
The actual destruction.
Videotapes of the interrogations, but she felt it was appropriate to do it because there was a written record. Mm-hmm. She was the person who oversaw the interrogation of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed,
who the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. And do we believe he gave up the information that led to Osama? It's not.
No, he gave up a lot of information, okay. And it was all proven to be false.
It was all proven to be false. And that's John McCain's whole take on this, right? Is that this leads to bad information. We shouldn't be doing this. And morally, we shouldn't be doing this, right?
And during her testimony this week, she refused to say whether or not that waterboarding and the other extreme measures that were used, whether they were immoral. She refused to say that. She wouldn't answer the question.
That's interesting.
And that's what got me off her, because I thought, well, okay, she's a patriot. And McCain, in his statement, said, there's no question she's a patriot. She's given her life to this country. But when you are the person that is the torturer, and you won't acknowledge that what you did was immoral, that's a problem. And I completely agree with him.
Did she say that she doesn't believe that the techniques were effective? Did they question her about that?
She talked around it.
Because I guess what we don't know, and this is not the way I intended us to talk about this, but what we don't know is, does she feel deep down, we got some good information out of this and it worked? And it led to things.
The report that came out, was it the CIA's own report review, said that they got nothing out of this.
Nothing.
Like zero.
Okay. So Kelly Sadler's a communications director, one of many, right? There's millions of these people, it sounds like, in the White House. But in some meeting, after it came out that McCain is going to oppose it, he's telling everybody that we shouldn't support this nomination, she said, well, he's going to die anyway. And we don't know how she said it. It's hard to defend making that comment ever, right? That's a terrible thing to say about somebody, whether you like them or not. That's just a terrible thing to say. And I'm sure she never intended that to be public. It was in a meeting, but that's how this administration works, right? All of these things are constantly leaking out. But I think if we take a step back and look at this, and I'm not defending her in any way of saying this, I think we all have made terrible comments about people at some point in our lives that we don't want the public to hear. Not defending that at all. It's a terrible thing to say. But if we step back and look, what happened earlier this week? What was the news cycle surrounding John McCain? It was, I don't want Trump at my funeral.
That's right.
We want Pence at the funeral. Trump doesn't deserve to be at the funeral. So that,
do you think that sets a tone that I think you're dissing our guy so we can be less than kind?
I do think so. Humane? I think, well, I don't think she intended to publicly be less than that. I think within their group of people, like this jerk, he's dying anyways.
But do you think maybe that goes back to the fact that, you know, Trump's comments about
absolutely
because I like guys who aren't captured?
Trump started it all, right? I don't know that we... I don't remember where we go back to McCain saying something awful about Trump first. We go back to Trump saying, oh, war hero, whatever. You know, I like my guys who aren't captured.
The difference being that when Donald Trump is saying it, he's not just saying it about John McCain. You're saying that prisoners of war are not heroes, that if you're captured, you're less than. And so I think there's a greater scheme. There's a bigger picture to this, too.
I think you could certainly say that. I think that Trump would say, I was talking about McCain. Of course he was talking about McCain. Of course he wouldn't diss everybody, but it sure sounded like that, the way he said
he said, I prefer people
who haven't been captured. Yes. Sure. So he did diss everybody that ever has been. Yes. But I'm going to actually defend Trump and say, I don't think that was his intention. He wanted to slam the guy he was running against, right? A guy that who he didn't want to hear talked great about because he wanted to
and
promote
himself.
And this
is where words matter then.
And absolutely.
And Kelly's comments, as if I know her using her first name,
sure,
were very similar to Trump's statement, that initial statement of 2015 about McCain.
Yeah.
Because Trump just extemporaneously will kind of, he'll go with the crowd and he'll just riff and he'll just throw something out there. And I think that's what she was doing on whatever call that they had, just trying to, you know, kind of.
Was it on a phone call or was it within?
I think it was a meeting.
I think it was a meeting that they had in the White House. I mean, look, the voice may have been Kelly Sadler, but I definitely think the spirit was Donald Trump in
absolutely
those words.
Absolutely. Sure. And that you could hear him saying that in a room, right? What does it matter? Is he going to vote? He's dying anyways. What do we care what he says?
And when you think
totally hear him saying it.
You think about, there are currently, there are Americans being held captive in other countries around the world currently. They don't ever release the exact number, but it's approximately a dozen in various different countries. And so I wonder how those folks feel when their leader...
And their families who are waiting for them to come home safely.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, sure. So, but here's what I want to get to about this. So with Kelly Sadler saying this, and I do think it was kind of because this other stuff had leaked out. And how did that get out, that he doesn't want Trump at his funeral? Why did that become public? I think somebody purposely embarrassed Trump a little bit by making sure that got out. And this is sort of the Trump administration fighting back. How does the Kelly Sadler thing leak out? And we've heard so many stories about, in the past, Trump calling people himself before he was president, doing all these things. It seems like the type of thing that he leaked out himself to slap back at McCain.
I thought about that. I also thought it could have been from somebody who didn't like Kelly Sadler and thought this would be a way of eliminating competition within the White House for a particular post. Because I don't think they've named a communications director yet, have they?
Right.
So people are elbowing for that. That could be a way of eliminating
her. Is that Hope Hicks' former job?
Yes.
Yes.
Still hasn't been.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I think that I think Ken raises a really good point, you know, especially when McCain has released that he has asked and they have agreed to speak both Presidents Obama and George W. Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, Trump does not like any of this coming out. He's getting slapped in the face left and right. And you, I think I want to see, when I was driving in, you guys mentioned that she hasn't resigned or been forced out yet.
And oh, no, surprised the White House is not going to force
her
to do either.
Don't you think that Trump is totally in her corner on this?
I would think so. Sure.
Because here she is throwing punches for him after that side has slapped him around a little bit. I think he loves when somebody does something.
Maybe
like
she
that
gets rewarded.
It's possible.
He has seen the news coverage. That's one thing we know for sure. He watches a ton of TV.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he knows, he's well aware of the impact that this has had. I'm sure he's well aware of the tweet that came back from John McCain's wife, and the nerve that this touched, and his daughter on The View, the comments mm-hmm. that she made. And for him, and for nobody in a position of authority to have said anything about this from the White House is astounding.
You mentioned that maybe somebody who wanted her out leaked this out. Maybe she wanted Trump to hear that she was fighting for Trump. Is that a possibility? that she wanted this to get out? Because
I don't think she would have leaked this on herself. It would have had to have come from a third party, somebody in that room who heard it.
This is the first time tonight that I thought about, would Trump have leaked this himself? And I wonder, down the road, will we ever find out that he leaked a bunch of stuff himself?
So what you're thinking is a John Barron made a phone call to a reporter?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, or he knows somebody, or maybe he's at a position now where he doesn't actually make the calls himself, but says to somebody, hey, why don't you tell so-and-so what she said in that meeting? Because that was a good one.
John Kennedy used to do this a lot. And reporters now who have now written books, like Tom Wicker wrote a book about his coverage of the Kennedy years. And he said there were three stories that he had above the fold that used to be a newspaper, for those who are not familiar with it, major stories. And he said the source was the president of the United States. And we identified him as a high senior White House official. That's the president of the United States. So I didn't see who the source was for what she said. I didn't see in the article I doubt it would identify. I doubt it would come from someone like that. I mean, I just.
In today's briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she didn't bat it down. You know, they just kept rolling with it, and they weren't going to talk.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on internal meetings.
Correct. Which I thought was really interesting. You know, there was no, you know, walking it back at all.
They're not going to apologize to McCain. That side hates McCain, and they're has Kelly apologized for it? Did she issue a statement?
No, she's been silent.
Or she didn't call Megan or
radio
or
silent.
Nothing. That's
been
gutsy,
like nothing.
Man.
So somebody threw it there, and we talked on the show tonight a little bit about reading the New York Times and how you can trust the New York Times, but there's a critical way to read it, and these sorts of questions are important to ask. Where did the story come from? What were the motivation of the person who put this, you know, who tipped the reporter that ended up blasting this all over the place?
And this was a White House official that shared it with CNN, by the way. That's who they went to, which is interesting, I think, in this story.
That is interesting.
Right, that it was CNN, which
so
is
does
obviously
that mean then
the thorn in his side.
They purposely wanted to hurt Trump with this even more because CNN having it is like.
And you would think CNN would probably do a double source on this. They couldn't. They wouldn't run with one source on it. So they'd have to have at least.
Get somebody else to cooperate.
Get somebody else, yeah. So maybe it was leaked.
Well, and it hasn't been denied.
Maybe it was leaked by the president. Here's something crazy.
Coming around.
leaked by the president to Scaramucci. Scaramucci calls CNN. CNN. CNN calls someone at the White House who confirms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very likely.
I mean, you know that stuff like that goes on out there.
But I mean, if there had, you know, other administrations probably would have walked it back, denied it, fired the person. This person is still serving in the White House, still in the administration. They didn't apologize, didn't try to walk it back, didn't try to deny it, didn't try, you know.
Even Rauner has fired people who have done less or in their past.
Yeah.
You know, tweeted things years ago.
His body guy, one day on the job, and it came out a former tweet or a Twitter post that he had made, gone.
At least a phone call to Mrs. McCain. You know, of heartfelt apologies.
Yeah, hey, in the heat of politics, like it was a tough week, and we're fighting a lot of things.
It was flippant comment.
Yeah, that I made to a couple people, and I didn't, you know, it was a poor choice. There are ways to apologize, at least privately, about it.
Even Mitch McConnell has walked back his statements that John McCain's being ridiculous about not letting Trump come to his funeral.
Yeah.
And he even walked that back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that, and there's, what, Jeff Flake, the other Arizona senator, and Lindsey Graham, one of McCain's closest friends in the Senate, are the only two who have really been out there speaking out against this. No other senators have said anything. They've been pretty silent.
Yep.
Well, do you think that the Senate should be speaking about this, that they should all be out there?
They're his colleagues.
They
want Trump stuff.
A couple guys spoke about it, and how much more should they? I mean, if Durbin's out there railing against this, doesn't that look a little grandstandish that he's going to get involved in this Republican GOP fight between each other? That he's taking advantage of that?
I'm sorry, I should have been clear. More Republican senators saying something.
Yeah. Well, they're afraid to ever, you know, get involved
in that, right? When have they ever done anything?
What does it do for them to get up here and start fighting against Trump on this?
Right.
He said a million things. I mean, this is somebody within his office saying something. I mean, if you were going to do that, you'd spend all your time being upset about things.
It sounds so much like Trump, though. If you just think about it,
he's dying.
Sounds like the type of thing that he would love that she said.
Yes,
she went to bat for him. You know, it's like the scene in The Untouchables when he's walking around with the baseball bat and talking about loyalty and all these things. It's like this is the type of thing that he loves that she did that. I would guess that, you know, here's somebody who threw a punch for me. What did you do for me today? You know what she just did? She just told that guy he's going to die anyways. What have you done? You could see him being like,
absolutely,
this is what we need around here. This is loyalty.
Well, that's because so many of the Republican senators and members of the House are extremely obedient to their leader, and no one is speaking up or standing up, and they've all become morally corrupt, and that is very problematic.
You think they've become morally corrupt because they're not fighting against Trump at every turn when something like this happens?
Yeah, if someone else was in office of the other party, they would be screaming on it. And the fact that they aren't, because the person in office is of their party, is extremely troubling.
All right, so to play devil's advocate here, the other party, what do we have? I guess we got to go back to Clinton for the Democrats when he was going through all of his stuff. Were Democrats being very upset about him denying everything with Monica Lewinsky before he finally copped to it, that he was lying to the public about that?
There were some, and there were, you know, remember, so Clinton went in 92, right after the 94 election cycle. Republicans took back control of the House, and going into 95, there were a handful of Democrats who actually switched parties
because of either Clinton's wrongdoings,
I think it was a combination,
taking a moral stand.
I think it was a combination of things, obviously.
I just think it might be a little disingenuous of us to get very upset at senators or Congress people for not taking a larger stand against a president of their own party. I think it's very hard. You know, we could say, hey, this is the right thing to do, but I'm serving my party. How does it help me to,
they should be putting,
corrupt this even more?
Their country ahead of the party.
And morality ahead of their party.
Do politicians generally do that, though?
Oh, yeah.
On either side.
Through history, we've had moments. There was a book written about called Profiles in Courage that focused on some of those that have done stuff like that. But, you know, in this...
It's few and far between in this day and age. Right?
In this heated atmosphere, no. It's just not... No.
But
it's scorched earth, both sides at war.
I mean, if it was the other way around, do we think that Durbin would be coming out saying this is abhorrent, this can't be done, he should be, you know...
I'd like to think Durbin wouldn't have to do that, that the president of the United States, were it to have been Barack Obama, would have fired the person within
30
seconds.
This never would have happened if Barack Obama was in office. We know that. And that's one of the things you have to respect most about John McCain. You can hate his politics, but when Barack Obama was running for president and McCain's doing his open meetings, his town halls, and this woman starts talking about how this Muslim, da-da-da-da-da, he cuts her off, stops her, says he's not Muslim, he's a good man, I'm not going to entertain crap like this.
Yeah, correct.
The type of stuff that was fomented and brought upon and brought out of America during this last election by the current president, that was encouraged, was the type of thing McCain just shut down and said, we're not going to run this like this. He's a good guy. We disagree politically.
Didn't President Obama get rid of Rahm Emanuel for various reasons, including when, remember when he was on the phone with people calling liberals who just followed the line effing retards? Do you remember this?
Well, I don't think... I never had the impression that there was a rupture of their relationship at all.
I thought there was. I mean, no. I remember Democrats getting upset at Rahm Emanuel for using that kind of language and calling him out on it because it was heartless and nasty.
Well, Rahm, that's just the way Rahm was, though. I mean, Rahm was that kind of guy. Rahm was the Bobby Kennedy of the Obama administration. There are people that I spoke with, actually a mentor of mine when I was at the University of Michigan. This is 20 years later, who, when I talked to him about his experiences with Bobby Kennedy, told me, I don't want to talk about it. I don't care. I hate the guy. I said, well, you know, he kind of went through this transformation after the assassination where he hit this deep depression and he came out a much better person. He goes, I don't care. I don't care, and I hope he's in hell. That's what the guy said. This is this is the former chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. He said the way he treated me and my family, he goes, I don't care. So apparently Bobby Kennedy had, and I'd read that, you know, there are issues, you know, and the Lyndon Johnson Bobby Kennedy thing is a perfect example. Read that, the history of that relationship in Robert Caro's book. It is amazing. Do you know that Lyndon Johnson called Bobby Kennedy to tell him that his brother had been assassinated? He called him from Air Force One.
Okay.
And to drive it home, he hated Bobby Kennedy so much. Lyndon Johnson said on that phone call, Bobby, do you know the words of the oath of office? Do you think you can have someone send that to me? Now, they're in the Constitution.
Yeah.
He did that to jab Bobby, to just jab him. Your brother's no longer president, buddy. I am. That's what he did. That's how mean-spirited Lyndon Johnson. That's how that relationship was so hateful.
Wow.
So, yes, politics, you know, even within the same party, they're at war with each other. And I think where we're at now is both sides are just...
It's one thing, though, to pit people in a party atmosphere or something like that. But I feel that Trump is almost pitting Americans against other Americans. And that is not something, you know.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have gotten more divisive. We used to disagree politically, but let's face it. If you remember back to George W. Bush and Democrats, and I was one who did not like George W. Bush as president, I never felt like so like vilely against president. I was producing here at the time, and I would never say that's not my president. A lot of people, that's not my president. He's not my president. I think that was quaint when people would say about George W. Bush, well, he's not my president. The level of divisiveness is at an all-time incredible moment now.
It's a strategic move for Trump. He's trying to divide the country apart.
And I can't imagine. So 10 years later, whatever we're at with George W. Bush, I respect George W. Bush, disagree with him politically, disagree with a lot of what he did. I don't hate the man. I can't imagine that 10 years from now, people are going to soften the way we always do on presidents, right? I can't imagine people are going to look back and go, yeah, Trump wasn't so bad.
No, the damage he's doing to this country, it's going to take decades to overcome. And I mean, he's doing everything he possibly can to split the democracy in half.
I mean, it's tough. You can disagree, like you say, with President Bush, but I think he was a good person.
Yeah.
And I think that Trump, just to his core, is not. Everything that we've seen, even in his personal life and everything that he has done, is all about him.
At moments like this, I often have to stress that Eric is a Republican, and the former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. Just want to stress that.
And I don't know if we can say bad person, not good person. Certainly not a presidential person. Not the type of person we think of. We've always disagreed with presidents politically and maybe really had a visceral reaction to how they do things and what they're doing to maybe the LGBTQ community, different things like that. But never have we had an instance this in our lifetimes, right? This strong and somebody who is so purposely, you know, not just politically not going the way you would like or not leaning away or hurting people we think, but just so not only making decisions you don't agree with, but trying to, turn the knife in the back and really just get out there and scream at them and use social media to get really unpresidential like words out and just attack people. It's an amazing time in our history, that's for sure. And I think four years from now, it will be looked upon that way by many, that's for sure. But I often think back, how the hell boring was this last 8 years? And how will we ever go back to having, you know, if Pence becomes president, there's going to be a lot of things people are up in arms about. But we're going to be sitting here going, well, not much happened this
week. Well, you know, he makes... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to belittle it, but he certainly trumps Nixon.
Yeah,
and I thought, you know, we were never going to see anybody as bad as Nixon. And then there was Reagan, and I thought, you know, at the time I couldn't stand just about anything that Ronald Reagan and his administration were doing. But I never felt about him like I feel about Donald Trump.
And I also think that the reason we don't hear more from Congress about everything that happens is because midterms are coming up. And for Republicans, they don't want to make things any worse than he's making it. And for Democrats, they want him to stay in office. They do not want that man out of office. The last thing Democrats want, no matter what comes out of this stuff, unless there is a really vile thing he did with Russian collusion or something that Mueller finds. Unless that happens, there's no way they ever want him leaving office right now until that next election. There's no way they want to give Pence a head start and let him take office.
Yeah, and there's also, if Pence were to start, I'm not quite sure, if he were to become president now, he would be only one more term.
If you serve more than half, you can only get elected once?
Yes, yeah, because this would count as one.
Interesting.
So if he takes office after the midterms, he can run twice. So you can have.
So even he's saying, hold on, Donald, hold on. You can make
10 years of Pence.
Ken Jacobowski, Eric Elk, and Patty Vasquez, thank you so much for coming down. I've got new producer Ben Anderson here dying.
Hey, Ben.
I didn't take a break. We didn't go to news. We didn't do anything here. So nothing like a baptism by fire to the middle of the night.
The tech screen is blowing up.
Guys, thank you so much for coming down. It's the Matt Bubala Show, 720 WGN. Those of you who are unhappy with that conversation about President Trump, after we get past the 3 o'clock news, I'll have some time to take your calls at 312-981-7200. But right now, I want to jump back on with a guest we had on last weekend. Dr. Janine Krippner is a volcanologist. And that sounds like something from Star Trek, but actually she studies volcanoes and is very good at it. Hey, Janine, how are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
I'm good. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us again this weekend. I wanted to get you back because we talked last week about the volcano in Hawaii. How do we pronounce that volcano?
Kilauea.
Kilauea. Kilauea has been an active volcano, I want to say, since 2003. Is that right? This has been a long time coming, right?
Close,
1983. Oh, it's been active forever. How does it, it's so interesting. So what is our definition then of active or not active? I think for a lot of us who don't follow volcanoes like you do, I think of Mount St. Helens that exploded back in the 80s. And to me, that's an active volcano. What does it mean that this volcano has been active since 1983?
Yeah, that can be a tricky word. So with Mount St. Helens, active means it erupted fairly recently and can erupt again relatively soon. But with Kilauea, active since 1983 means actively producing lava and erupting pretty much nonstop since 1983.
So what is the difference between all it's been doing along now until now? Where has it been producing lava and where has that been going in the last 30 years?
It's changed locations a few times. Pu'u'u has been active. We've seen the 61G lava flow active since 2016 around that East Rift Zone and also around the Summit Crater.
So it's been active, but it's been not in areas that's really affected everybody, because now we have this, we've been hearing, I think it's Leilani Estates, which I don't know how far they are from this volcano. And this is not Leilani, how do you pronounce the volcano again?
Kilauea.
I'm sorry. Kilauea is not how we think of a volcano in maybe the traditional sense of a big mountain with a hole at the top, right? This is a lower-lying volcano?
Exactly. In fact, it's so big and low-lying that if you're on the volcano, you probably wouldn't know you were on a volcano.
That's right. I think I've heard people out there that give tours, and people are like, well, where's that? Well, you're on top of it right now. So there's these Leilani Estates where the fissures have opened and people have had to evacuate. How is their actual construction sort of on top of the actual volcano then? Would we say, well, the fissures are opening on the volcano, we've actually been building on the volcano?
Exactly, yeah. And the reason why is when the Puna area started being built up, being developed, they didn't realize that the East Rift Zone was a relatively recently active part of the volcano. They thought the activity was all up at the summit because some of the oral traditions had been lost and the geological studies had not been done yet.
So they start. So that sounds like really bad planning by the construction people and maybe the city who wanted the money from more houses being built. Does everybody living in those houses have volcano insurance?
No, unfortunately not. I've seen some of the houses are being covered by fire insurance, but I don't think everyone is that fortunate.
So that's bad. So those, so unless the state or government, federal government helps those people, they might have lost out completely. General house insurance, I'm guessing, does not cover a lava flow destroying your house, correct?
Not that I know of, yeah, correct.
Yikes. What's the latest with the volcano? Because I was reading that some things have slowed down, others have picked up, and that could mean that we're building towards an actual bigger explosion. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, there are a couple of different things going on. So there hasn't been active lava coming out around the Leilani Estates area since May 9th, but there has still been a lot of degassing, and there is very high seismicity still. So new fissures could open up either uprift or downrift of that eruption. The other thing we have going on is up at the summit crater, the lava lake level has been dropping significantly. In fact, a few days ago, it was 295 meters below the crater rim, and that has continued as far as we know. So there's the normal water table in the volcano, which is around that deep crater. But the lava is so hot that when the lava lake level is above the water lake level, the water does not get into the crater. But once that drops down, the water can get into the crater, and if that is kept by rock, it'll be producing a lot of steam because water flashes to steam at these high temperatures. That could pressurize and cause an explosive explosion.
And what are we talking about when we say an explosive explosion?
So you're looking at when water goes to steam, it expands about 1,600 times. And when that happens instantly, it's going to basically blow apart the rock that's around it and form larger ash plumes and rocks up to about 10 ton going within half a mile of the crater.
I'm sorry. You just said rocks up to 10 ton, meaning a boulder up to 10 tons could fly within miles of the crater?
At least that's what's happened in the past.
That sounds insanely damaging. And there are, I mean, so where this explosion would take place, I mean, if these Leilani Estates are getting demolished by lava, I imagine we're talking about a wide swath that could be destroyed, and homes and people, if they're not evacuated, things like that. Are there people in a danger zone of that happening?
Not really. Luckily, the summit area itself doesn't have a lot of people up there, especially within that half a mile radius or a kilometer radius where the larger rocks could go. And that area has now been evacuated because they know this risk is possible.
Okay, so if that happens, half mile radius or so, it's been evacuated, not a lot of people there by that area, so we're not too worried about that. What about other fissures, and what about seismic activity? We had a 6.9 magnitude earthquake when this all started happening. If this blows, what's the seismic activity that could result?
The seismic activity can definitely continue. In fact, from that 6.9 earthquake, there still could be significant aftershocks as well. So what it looks like has happened is the lava that we've seen coming out over the last week and a half has been there from probably around 1955. So the concern is that fresher, hotter, more gas-rich lava or magma at this stage is coming down that rift, and if that comes out, that could be higher lava fountains and longer lava flows.
You know, that's amazing to hear that the lava that came out is from the 50s, so now there's newer lava that could be more catastrophic. This week is the first time I've ever read really about gases involved with volcanoes. I've always, you know, there's hot lava and you got to avoid that, and that's scary. The gases that are being produced, how dangerous are those? Is there a danger at all for people that aren't nearby? And will this affect Hawaiian crops or anything like that?
Well, these kind of gases normally come out at Kilauea anyway, so there's, I think the communities are already quite used to what we call VOG, which is volcanic smog. So that's when sulfur dioxide gases mix up with aerosols like water in the air, and they can be quite irritable to respiratory airways and things like that. So I think the people in these areas are used to that, but closer to the fissures, these gases are at toxic or deadly level.
Hmm. And are you, Janine, you're located in West Virginia, is that correct?
I am, yes.
Are you dying to get out to Hawaii right now? Like, I wonder if somebody who studies volcanoes is sort of like a weather chaser, and that when this is going on, you really want to be there.
I would want to be there if I could help. But at the moment, it is so hard watching people suffering and being affected by this. This isn't a normal kind of exciting eruption that I would love to get to.
So if there was one that was just completely desolate and you could watch this thing go, then you'd be there in a second. But there's if there's no way to help and it's just, you know, the you're seeing more of the suffering of people. So there's not as much, I guess, to take from that. That's exciting. I just wonder if, like, you know, storm chasers love a big storm. As a volcanologist, you got to love a big volcano, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible seeing a volcano erupt. The raw power of these things is amazing. You've got to think this lava is coming up from kilometers or tens of kilometers with this fresh potential magma from below the ground. It's melted rock. And that in itself is incredible.
It really is one of the wonders of the world, isn't it? And how much does that have to do with the actual core of the Earth? Or is this so, it's only a few meters down, it's not any related to the core of the Earth?
Yeah, it's not really related that much. I mean, the giant system in ways is related, but if you think of an apple, the crust of the Earth is like an apple skin.
Okay.
So it's very, very thin and quite far away from the core. So while the core produces heat, that is very important, the actual magma itself is very shallow.
And all the volcanoes around the world, they're not interconnected in any ways, right? There's not an underground system that connects these things in any ways. They're just separate little pieces of the Earth?
Yeah, to be clear, they are not connected, and they are not all going off, and we are not all about to die. These are questions I've actually got.
Well, that's reassuring and good to know. Dr. Janine Krippner, you can follow her on Twitter at Janine Krippner with two P's. She's got lots of information she puts out there about the volcanoes and a great way to keep an eye on it. And by next weekend, will this all be over, or is this something that we might be talking about for months and months on end?
Right now, really anything is possible. It could, but it looks a bit more possible that it will continue for a while yet.
Wow. Well, we're going to keep your number and keep bugging you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Dr. Janine Krippner at Janine Krippner on Twitter. Follow her and get your latest information on the volcanic activity around the world. Quick break, and then we're back. 312-981-7200. Mapu Bala with you on 720 WGN. We're going to get the news update here in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Janine Krippner at Janine Krippner, J-A-N-I-N-E, two P's in Krippner, K-R-I-P-P-N-E-R. Follow her on Twitter. A lot of you had a lot to say after our conversation. We started the show by keeping behind Ken Jacobowski and Eric Elk and Patty to talk a little bit more about what happened with Kelly Sadler and John McCain and the Trump White House. And a lot of you were texting upset that all we do is bash the Trump White House. I was defending in my own little way what happened there, and I'm willing to talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about your feelings about what's going on as far as that. I think, quite honestly, it's being a little overblown. I think she said a terrible thing. She shouldn't have said that. I think she said it in a closed-door meeting where you talk bad about your enemies. And that's kind of what, you know, if we're going to be willing to dismiss locker room talk as some of the other things that were said that I think were much worse. I mean, listen, it's a terrible thing to say about somebody. There's no doubt about that. But I think if you look at the whole context of what was done there, I'm not surprised that things like that were being said behind closed doors of somebody who has been a real thorn in the side of that administration. 312-981-7200. News is next, 720 WGN. Really? All right, Ben. Jess Rains is out sick tonight. Ben Anderson is filling in. He's behind the glass when you dial 312-981-7200. You can also text us at that number. Beginning of the show, we had on Eric Elk and Ken Jacobowski, along with Patty Vasquez, continued a conversation from their show about Kelly Sadler, who's in the White House Communications Office. And the leak that came out that when they were talking behind closed doors or in a meeting about John McCain's opposition to Gina Haspel being the new director of the CIA, she said, well, he's going to die anyway Theoretically, I don't know that we know the true meaning. Was that just an awful thing to say? Was that meaning he's not going to ever get to vote on this? It doesn't matter. We don't know. But it was a terrible thing to say. It was leaked out by somebody. And we debated who leaked it out, whatever. And if there's any, there's no justification for saying anything like that. But I try to look at it in the broader context of McCain and Trump have been at odds, terribly at odds, right? Trump said terrible things about McCain during the nomination process when he was running for the nomination at an event where somebody brought up McCain as a war hero. He's like, war hero, because he was captured. And he was trying to be flippant and dismissive of McCain, right? And he's made, I believe that he's made fun of McCain's lack of use of his arm, couldn't, you know, lift his arm, stuff like that, which is from his injuries from being a prisoner of war. And McCain very dramatically blocked the repeal of Obamacare with his vote, with the thumbs down, the dramatic thumbs down he gave. And this week, earlier this week, the news story was that McCain does not want Trump at his funeral. That leaked out that, or was put out there, that McCain wants Pence to represent the White House and doesn't want Trump to be there. And I'm sure that that was a slap at Trump that Trump took umbrage at because, let's face it, Donald Trump gets mad when people slight him. He doesn't take it lightly. And so the fact that this then came out, that somebody said this behind closed doors, doesn't surprise me that much. There's got to be a lot of animosity towards John McCain within that White House. And so that somebody would say that behind closed doors isn't stunning, I don't think. That it gets leaked out is, you know, certainly an issue that Donald Trump has faced throughout his presidency and been very ticked off about, that people are finding out these things happen. But we do know that Trump in his previous life was more than willing to leak things out about himself. And I wonder if there wasn't a blessing of, yeah, get this out there. I want to stick it to John McCain. I wouldn't be that surprised. And I'm not surprised that she has not been fired or forced to resign, because I think privately Donald's like, hey, she's got my back. She's fighting back when this guy's saying bad things about me. 312-981-7200. We had some texts about that, about what was said. And there are those of you out there that get upset anytime we talk negatively about President Trump. And I know you feel like this is all we do. I will just say that I've said positive things about President Trump too, even though I don't like his politics. I certainly don't like the way he conducts himself in office. But when there are positive things to say, I'm happy to say them. 309 wrote, if WGN allows guests like that to talk about a president, does not mention that they're receiving texts from listeners in opposition to the guests, that is disingenuous and not honest. If you're receiving more than one comment from listeners opposed to the guest's opinion, please mention it on air so that honest representation of opinion is presented. Thank you. 309, you were the only one that texted negatively, but I still shared it. So there. People wrote about 815 says politics has always been this bad. There's just never been a media so prevalent there to report on everything, except for Hamilton Burr. 414 said, let's not forget there's a huge never Trump movement in the Republican Party. They're not following lockstep. I don't know if they're not following lockstep, but they're not fighting against him so hard. But I think it's a tough thing. I know one of the guys was upset that more people aren't speaking out against what's happening here. But I think it's disingenuous for us to get completely upset at the politicians for not taking a stand against Donald Trump every time they disagree with him. They need some unity of party. They need to be able to get things done. And they know that if they tick him off, they're going to have even more trouble getting bills passed and doing things like that. I mean, yeah. He's more than willing to fight with his own party, too. And Donald Trump has,
even during the primary.
Donald Trump is somebody that you need to be able to manage in some way, shape, or form. And you're never going to manage him by managing him.
Right.
You need to manage him by not getting him off track, getting him more upset with you. You know, I honestly think that Donald is willing to kill a bill that he likes if McCain wrote something right now, mm-hmm, that Trump really liked. Mm-hmm. I think Trump would say, you know what, forget it. We'll get somebody else to do it next year. Yeah. I'm not passing something with him.
But I don't think that Donald Trump has ever been managed. He is one who is...
If he's managed, he's not... It's done... Hope Hicks was managing Donald Trump.
She didn't last very long.
Well, because she got herself into other issues, right?
But still.
But she was the one, if you read Fire and Fury, and I know everybody's on board with Fire and Fury.
I understand.
But she is the one, she was the one in charge of what he was reading all day long. She was cutting, you know, it was like a movie where you see the people that have been sequestered getting the newspaper with all the holes cut out of it for the stories.
Right.
She brought in the clips that she knew made the most sense for him to see, what they wanted him to read, what they wanted him to see, how they keep him on track, how they avoid things that maybe are going to throw him off track, you know, positive things, things like that. So that was a form of managing him. And you're right. He's not somebody that can truly be managed.
No.
He's not somebody you can say, you need to stick to this script today, boss. That's probably the last thing you ever say to Donald Trump would be my guess.
Yeah, definitely. He is a very strong personality that feels he knows best. He is not one to manage by committee. He is one to manage by himself. This is how he's done his career, the whole his entire career, his own businesses. He's been in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I think it's very hard. Listen, I'm a small business owner, a very small business owner. One of the toughest things is to pass stuff along to somebody else to do and not micromanage it.
Exactly.
I think it's one of the toughest things in business is as you grow to start then delegating things and letting people take care of it. And I think Donald Trump is somebody who in the end, when you have, especially when you become president, and now you have a room full of people advising you.
Right.
It's got to be very difficult for anybody to hear, well, you know, have you ever, did you watch Zero Dark Thirty? The Jessica Chastain movie that shows how they got Osama bin Laden.
Yes, yes.
So she's reporting. James Gandolfini plays a boss there, and he's got to be the one who decides whether we take this to the president.
Right.
So you got a room of 20 people, and he's like, bottom line, is he there or not?
Yeah.
85%, 60%, 32%. Right. He's like, boy, this is great, guys. I appreciate our you know, how confident we are in this crap that I got to go take to the president and put my head on the line for. And Jessica Chastain's like, 100%. Yeah. You know, she's like all in. But that's got to be very difficult as somebody who makes decisions. And Trump has been somebody that probably kind of more by his gut has made decisions his whole life. And here he gets all this, you know, not only probably warring factions on, well, we should do this, well, we should do that, but pages and pages. Well, if you're in the information about this, and that's not how he's done it.
No.
He's like, give me the details and then I'm going with my gut.
He wants the executive summary up front and the yes or the no aspect of it.
Yeah.
And let's go. So, and a lot of the things that you're saying where he kind of goes off tangent, a lot of that is when he goes out to these public public affair exhibitions, these where the campaign trail, where he's out in front of a group of people, supporters, and he relishes, he doesn't have to deal with the mundane business aspect of the White House. He can get away and be himself, and that's where sometimes he doesn't have a handler.
Yeah.
And well, where, you know, he goes off script.
He's an ideas guy.
Yeah.
He's a top level. Hey, we should be doing this. We should be doing that. You guys got to go make it get done.
Right.
And that's, that's
Washington
what the job
has
of the president
never,
actually is just being the guy everybody comes to and says, well, here's, and you got to make a decision.
But we are all aware of how presidents have been in the
past.
He's
just not a nuanced decision maker. He's a gut decision maker.
Yeah.
And I think we have had recently, so President Obama was probably, some of you would say, overly studious, probably studied everything to death, and maybe things didn't get done because of it, right? Maybe there was decision inertia, just, we're never doing it, we're just going to study it to death. George W. Bush, you'd probably say, was a lot more like Donald Trump in this, but he had Cheney there, and I think because he grew up in a political family, he listens to people and then says, all right, yeah, that makes sense.
But he was more of a gung-ho guy.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. But let's
Which I would think
sure.
Donald Trump is too, but I think Trump has much more of a, hey, here's how I think things should be. I think George W. is more like, well, what does everybody think? All right, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think Donald's a lot of, what do you guys think? Okay,
no,
let's
I
do
don't
that.
Think he is.
312-981-7200. Bob, Tom, Len, and Robert all waiting to get in. Your call's welcome as well. We'll get to them right after this on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Roger Badish hanging out down here with us right now. Let's get to your calls at 312-981-7200. Robert's been holding on patiently. Good morning, Robert. How are you today? Did I hit that wrong? Robert. Robert, are you there, sir? Bob?
No.
I don't know what's going on. What happened to Robert? Robert, are you there? I have phone on. I swear I hear him. All right, let me put him back on hold. Hey, Ben, pick up with Robert real quick and see if he is still there. That's a terrible thing I do to people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, but sometimes, I mean, the equipment is a little on the fritz.
A lot of the equipment. I came up to visit you earlier tonight up in the newsroom. You weren't there, but half the newsroom is gone now, isn't it? Well, not when I walked in. When I walked in right before I went down by Patty's show, you weren't in there at that second.
Oh, you walked. Oh, okay. Or I was around the corner.
Half of the room is taken out and moved to the new station.
Yeah, right? Last week they took two of the work desks out and all the equipment. Yeah. So, and then we're just waiting for the other desk to go. And I don't even know when the main desk is going to go. But it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
We don't have that much longer here.
No, we don't. Oh, next weekend on the show, I'm very excited about this.
Ooh.
So, if they really do this. I've told you before that I go out with my old producer friends from here.
I produced
the John Williams Show here for 10 years, from 97 to 2007. And at the time, Audrey Clark produced Bob Collins. Okay. She was Bob's last producer. Tracy, at the time, Huvelman, now Tracy Weiner, produced Spike Odell.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Vandraw produced Kathy and Judy.
Right.
And we still get together. We try a few times a year to get together. They have committed to coming in and being on the show next weekend. Allegedly. We'll see. They're old. And, you know,
for sure they won't show
they
up.
They don't pull
now
it.
You just called
Trust
them
me,
up.
They're not going to hear that I called them old. We'll
Early
see.
Early bedtime? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, Kurt lives out in Northwest Indiana. He's got kids.
My gosh.
Tracy's got kids. Audrey is leading the life.
Really?
Leading the life.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to speak out of turn.
Okay.
But Audrey has not been gainfully employed in over a year.
She's How does been, that happen?
She worked really hard, banked it all.
Really?
Then when she was tired of the job or ready for a change in life, she resigned. And then she thought, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And she fully intended to get back in the workforce earlier.
Right.
But she'll like go on a trip and work on a mission thing or go somewhere and build things and travel the world. And she took trapeze lessons. I mean... I got kids and I'm in the suburb with a mortgage. I vicariously have lived through Audrey for the last 14 months. It's awesome. That time for her is coming to an end. She's looking for work
She's figuring out
what she wants to do with her life. But it's good to catch up with them. And so we'll
bring them in. Let's do
this. They're coming in next weekend, allegedly 2:30 in the morning.
Because I have not met any of them.
You haven't met any of them?
I've been here 11 and a half years.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Kurt wasn't here working because he was in management then.
Right. He did go into management, but I think he was gone by then.
He was gone before you got
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I just met because Spike was just leaving.
Oh, okay.
When I started.
Oh, wow.
He was just leaving, and I got him a going away present.
What'd you get him?
I got him a Beatles version.
Oh, yeah,
of
like this.
What's the game where you got the. Oh, Trivial Pursuit. I got him a Beatles version of Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe, well, nah, we can't call Spike at 3 in the morning, can we? No,
I don't think he's old
work
too.
Out.
He's old too.
I don't think. Actually,
Grandpa's worn out.
I'll shoot Spike a text and I said, listen, we're on from 2 to 5, and at some point you're going to have to pee in the middle of the night. At that moment, click on the computer and give us a call.
Yeah. That would be cool.
It'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that next weekend. So Audrey Clark and Tracy Huvelman Weiner and Kurt Vandraw will be here with us next weekend, allegedly.
We'll That'd see. Be nice. Hey, let me run upstairs.
All right. Yeah, you got to do that. We got to get to news in a minute. 312-981-7200. 312 says, Trump's commercial is the hotel chain where the main guy says, just bada book, bada boom. and somebody says, can we talk about fun stuff? Hey, listener Wally is listening in Stockholm, Sweden this morning. Wally, if you want to call in, we'd be more than happy to take your call. I know Jess isn't here to chat with you, but we'd be happy to take your call. Tell us what's going on in Sweden. If you like, we'd be happy to do that. 312-981-7200. Here's what I want to talk about after the news. I don't know if you saw this story earlier this week. Ben Anderson, our producer, is behind the glass right now. Ben, can you talk to us for a second here? We're going to get personal with you real quick here, bud. I don't know. You got to turn your mic on, the on-air one, not through the ear, if you can.
Yep,
there we go.
Yep.
All right. Are you married, sir?
No.
You're not. Have you done the online dating at all?
In my past, I have.
When you go out on a date with somebody, what is the appropriate amount of text messages to send? So say you have a date, seems like it ended fine, and then you're interested in that person. So how long do you wait before you text them the follow-up? As a general rule, what are you guessing that you
would do? There's so many different rules out there.
There are.
I've always gone with if I like them and if I want to see them again, I'll text them the next day.
You wait till the next day.
Yeah.
You don't like when you get home, hey, that was great. Hope we can talk.
Well, I mean, if it went well.
Depends on how
you got the vibe that went well, then yeah, I'd probably send a, you know, that was really great. Look forward to, you know, seeing you again.
So the next day you text, you say you don't hear back, but you thought it went well. So, do you wait another day, shoot another one? Do you wait a couple days? What's your buffer on that?
I'd give it somewhere in the 24 to 48 time span.
So, we went out on Friday. I texted on Saturday. Hey, that was great. Hope we can do something again soon. I don't hear back. I give him Sunday. Now, on Monday, I'm thinking, man, because what are you thinking? You're thinking, it went really well. Maybe that text didn't go through. Maybe their phone was off. Maybe something happened. I hate to let this go because I really think that that went okay. So Monday, I'm just going to, hey, I don't know if you saw the text, but I really had a great time. Hope you did too. Let's talk later this week and maybe get together again.
Is that via text or are you calling and leaving a message?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
Because at that point, I'd definitely call and leave
you would
a
have
message.
Called.
Yeah.
Okay. So first you would text.
I'd text the night
originally?
Of I would text. And then I think I would probably call.
Couple days later.
Yeah, like 24 to 48 and just say, you know, can we do something again? You know, just follow up with a call because to me that means more.
That does mean more. I agree. Also, not the way kids seem to do things today. But so you leave a voicemail. Now you've left it all out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done twice. I've spaced it out. If you don't hear back then, are you just like, all right, that's it. If I hear back from them, great. But if not, I just got to assume that something that I misread something and I got to let this go. Or what do you do?
I'd probably maybe give it another day, reach out. But at that point, that's, you know, strike three. Yeah. And then you probably have to call it quits after that. And the ball's in their court. If they get back to you, they get back to you. If not,
you just move on.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to talk about after the news. Here's the headline, Roger. A Phoenix woman is facing numerous charges after she allegedly sent more than
65,000
text messages to a man after a first date last summer.
Wow.
65,000.
Yeah, she got a little into it. I think
I wait till the 65,000th, and then I write
and
back.
One.
Oh, that's... I'm sorry. Were you texting me? I must have missed that.
That's how episodes of Law and Order SVU start.
Absolutely. I mean, it gets. It gets bizarre after that.
Mm-hmm.
The 65,000, that's nothing. Then you got to hear what she was writing in them. Thank you, Roger Badish. 3:35 in the morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. It's also the text number. Feel free to jump in and be part of the show. So, Roger, you telling me that baseball is not likely to happen today?
Not likely. Yeah, sorry.
Well,
depend where you're playing. I mean,
well, here's what we have going.
It's not
on
everything
today.
Is going to. It's only about 60% of the area.
Well, we're in West Dundee, so we're straight west about 40 miles.
Yeah.
If you're saying it's coming in from Des Moines, that doesn't sound
good. Yeah.
Unless
no,
you're going to say, oh, south of 80 is where it's at, but I'm guessing you're not saying that.
Yeah, it's hugging 88.
I mean, it's south of us. So.
Yeah, and but it goes up to. Up to 90. There's some up in Rockford.
Yeah.
Hampshire. It's along 39 right now. That's northwest, north south, but that's where Bunch is.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way west Union Grove, Geneseo, goes all the way through Davenport. So it's almost straight west.
And is it a hard rain, or is it just going to be
there's patches. There's patches of light rain, and then there's some very dark purple areas, which is not
good. So it's going to be kind of an ugly Mother's Day weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, warm.
We've had really good Mother's Day weekends for the last 4 or 5 years because we play baseball every Mother's Day weekend. We're always in a little local tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Sunday, the moms, they bring out drinks is what they do.
Oh, really? Just celebrating quite a bit.
They celebrate in their own little way
while
we're playing baseball. But it's fun for the moms, and they have some drinks, and they have some hors d'oeuvres and hang out. But it's going to be a little rough this year, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So we had a game on Friday night. Today we have both Little League and travel. So, Roger, we're supposed to have a game at 9 a.m. today for Little League, but it's picture day. So our pictures are set for 8 a.m.
No.
Yeah. But we already moved pictures indoors.
Okay,
so we've got that taken care of. I don't know if we're going to play the games or not. That'll be the only thing. But I'm kind of hoping we don't, because I'd like to go take that picture and then go back to bed for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's no fun playing baseball in 32-degree rainy weather, we have found, for the young
wind.
Children.
Yeah,
we had a game last night. So Thursday night we had a game, 6 o'clock. I swear, I was wearing shorts. It was gorgeous out.
Yeah.
It was like 65 degrees at least. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday night we have a game at 6 o'clock. And it's in one of those open field areas.
Didn't you?
I had on a long sleeve shirt, the jersey, a sweatshirt, and then like a little cover, like a wind cover, rain cover type thing.
Yeah,
I was freezing.
You should have seen the fans at Wrigley.
I didn't get to see any of that.
Oh my god!
I'm sure
like two, three, four layers of clothing.
Oh,
on
it
them.
Had to be brutal.
Oh yeah,
we were dying
because it was drizzling almost the whole game.
Tommy pitched one inning last night, and he said by the third batter, I could feel my hand. It got better. I mean, it was one of those, like, just bad nights.
Yikes.
And so that was no fun.
No.
But it is what it is, right?
Yeah,
this time, I was telling people today, because I was really annoyed, but I was thinking, you know, in this past week, it got warm. I mean, it got warm.
Well, yeah. I played golf Wednesday, and it was gorgeous out. We started at 4 o'clock, and we were in the middle of the sixth fairway at 5 o'clock. The skies opened up. Oh my gosh.
And the rain came
sheets
down.
Upon sheets of 40 mile an hour wind driven rain.
Oh, wow.
And then the hail came. And I'm wearing shorts. My shoes and socks were soaked, even though I had an umbrella. And of course, like I'm a dummy, I didn't go into the clubhouse and say, all right, let's call it a day.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep playing.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite some time yet.
And I actually had the app out on my phone, the WGN-TV interactive radar app, on my phone as I'm freezing and trying to keep it dry. The wind drove the rain so much that the inside of my umbrella was dripping.
Ha! Now that's a good rain.
Yeah.
It's dripping on me.
The rain is coming from inside the umbrella.
And marble-sized hail slapping into my legs.
Ouch. And yet, he played on.
Yes.
Well, but that's how we get, Roger. And that was how I looked at this weather this weekend, this cold snap, is earlier this week it got warm. It got warm to the point that I was debating upstairs in our house. You know, you got the windows open. You're like, God, do we have to turn the air on? This is pretty thick up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I start getting almost to the point where I'm going to complain. And I had told people, hit me if I complain, because it was cold this winter and even the spring kind of sucked for a long time. And so I think that this is Mother Nature's way of kind of giving us a little slap in the face saying, you were about to complain it was getting too hot. Mm-hmm. Here's what it's like. And then reset yourself, and then Monday, Tuesday, it's going to get nice again, and then just say, oh, you know what? When it gets to 90, I'm not going to be upset.
Yeah.
I'm just going to enjoy this change of season, and this is just a little refresher of, hey, don't forget how bad it can be.
The season, unfortunately, over the last couple of weeks has been changing dramatically between winter and summer.
It has. And, you know, I know there's those of you that don't believe in climate change or any of that stuff, but this is what that is. Like, when it's hot in winter and people go, where's that, where's the not climate change, what do they call it,
what do you,
climate change is like what it's called, but people don't what was it originally called?
Oh, the
no, just like the change is like Global warming.
Thank you.
When it's freezing in the world, people, where's that global warming? Or blah, blah, blah. The global climate change is not about it's going to be hot in the winter.
Right.
It's not global warming. It's that now we're going to have these crazy fluctuations. And that is seems to be more and more of what we have, right? Over the last few winters, we either get no snow or all of a sudden we get a ton of snow or, you know, things like that.
A lot
that.
Of fluctuations.
It's,
yeah,
it's
quick
true.
Fluctuations.
But you know what? this is what I blame it on. I convinced my niece that we have the changes in the, you know, the variation in the sequence from the cicadas. When they come out, it heats the earth up. And then they disappear, and it cools down for several years until, you know, 10 years
so
later.
So every
they
17
come out
years, we have global climate change.
Yeah. She bought
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. She's going to be so mad at you someday.
Yeah.
Or she's going to be in class going, no. My uncle said that it's the cicadas. And then her teacher's going to be like, who is this uncle of yours?
No, it's great because she lives down in Texas. And
so it can never come back to haunt you.
Yeah, there's no cicadas down there, so she has nothing to go off.
And not a lot of people that believe in climate change either.
Yeah.
So she's probably good.
Yep.
312-981-7200. I got a text earlier tonight. I wanted to reach you real quick because I missed this when we started the show. All right. Let me make sure because these texts come in and they're divided up and then all the numbers don't stay together. So it's like you got to piece them together sometimes. 630 wrote, and I don't know if they're up, but they said, Matt, I can't stay up to hear if you mention this. Thank heavens for podcasts. But my Mother's Day has been blighted by news that my older son, who got his PhD today, is seriously considering moving to China to pursue his physics career. Also, he has a commuter marriage, and his wife surprised him by flying from L.A. to see him get his degree, so he's no longer spending Saturday night with me as originally planned. And my other child lives in Tennessee. Well, I'm very sad to hear that, but here's what I will say about that. What a great, successful son you have raised, who not only just got his PhD, but is being courted to move to China to pursue his career in physics. I mean, that's incredible, and it's easy for me to say, try to look at it that way because my kids are still at home. But let's face it, that's what we're all working towards is to raise these independent kids who go off to lead these wonderful lives that we could admire from a distance. So if you're still up and still awake, be very proud of that son of yours. That's really cool. And how sweet and wonderful that his wife, what a tough marriage to have, a commuter marriage. That sounds rough.
Yeah.
And that she flew in to be with him, that's a great thing. So hopefully you won't get him on Saturday night, but I bet you get him on Sunday for Mother's Day.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Man, David's in Spain.
Years are coming quick. Your son is still in Spain.
Yeah.
How long has he been there now?
Since last September.
Has he let you know, does the rain in Spain fall mainly on the plains?
Plane? I don't think that's been a pressing issue.
I think you should
him.
Ask.
I will next time we.
You know, next time you need a little levity in the conversation, him. Say, you know, it's been
he
killing.
He did come home over Christmas time. He did come home for about 3 weeks.
And what is he teaching English as a second language? What's he doing?
He works for this company, and there's many of them in the United States. And I think even overseas, there's some of the companies where those people come to America. But what happens is the regular teacher is teaching English, and then David assists the teacher in teaching English as it's to be used in America.
So that's great. So this is what I envisioned. The teacher's like, well, now, this is the proper Queen's English, and this is the way we speak. And then David says, and then you get on the street, and this is what you do.
Yeah.
You tell this guy, boom, right there, that's what you get.
And then if you, no, he says,
so we
if
actually
you're on
use
the
it.
L... In Chicago.
You see the guy urinating on the platform. You say, hey, buddy, put it away. We don't need to see that. That's how you talk to people in America.
I think I've gotten the gist that that's what he does.
Well, that sounds cool. And is he having fun?
He's having a blast.
And so he's getting paid to be there.
Yeah.
And is his room and board free? Or does he got to pay that out of the money he gets?
I think he pays it out of the money he gets, but he's got a great place and a roommate. And
is he able to put away a little bit too? Like, is he saving anything, or is he making it and spending
it? He's saving a little, but he travels through Europe a lot.
That's awesome.
When he's got time off, he has friends from when he went to school in Milan for a semester.
Right.
There were a lot of students at that school. It was an architectural design school, and so it had students from all over Europe. So he made a ton of friends,
And so he's got friends in London. He's got friends in France, I think. And they're all over. And he travels around. He loves traveling and taking pictures and stuff. And so when he gets time off, he travels. And it, once you're in Europe, it's fairly inexpensive to go around Europe.
So, I have to say, Roger, now that I already did, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plains.
Yeah.
Now that you said London and France, I now also have to say, I see London, I see France, I see Roger's underpants. Even though I don't.
This show has devolved to its lowest.
Well, let's face it. It had never evolved in the first place. You can't devolve if you don't evolve first. And we never got to that point.
That's true.
This is why Chanel is not rolling out the red carpet. But damn it, they should.
Oh, gosh.
3-1.
Chanel would have a... You know what they could do?
They would.
They should stay open and then serve an early breakfast. We could have old fashions with an omelet.
They probably make Bloody Marys.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
This would please, Ishnala, if you're listening, you're great people. We would love to get together with you and do the show from there. I bet you people would come out from the Dells, from the towns around there, and hang out with us early on a Saturday morning.
Here's what
they're,
we need
they're
to do.
Already up from Friday night.
So we tried the Bertrand travel thing, and he just blew us off. Right? He doesn't want us to go into Europe for him. Why don't we try to put together a listener trip to the Dells?
Ooh.
So, listeners,
okay,
jump on board. You get a night in the Dells, or two nights, whatever you want. We do a weekend up in the Dells.
Okay.
And maybe we do it like at the end of summer, like closing season, or well, I guess it makes more sense for Ishnala to do it sooner because you want people coming not at the end of their season.
Yeah, right.
So, but we arrange it that, you know, for this amount of money, you get an overnight stay, and then we're going to do the show up at Ishnala, we're going to have dinner at Ishnala, and then you take in Tommy Bartlett and whatever else, and you go to the mall, and bam!
I like it.
And then you got buses going up.
Oh, that would be cool. Do you think the Dells would help us arrange it?
I would think they would, but I don't know. We got to make some calls around here. You know what the problem is? You and I get all our best ideas at 3:48 a.m. when there's nobody we can call and say, hey, why don't we do this?
That's right.
If we were Lou Manfredini, that would be different.
Boom. We're not. Done.
Learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Hey, by the way, every Monday, the Steve Cochran Show has free White Sox tickets, but you got to be listening to win. Tune in from 8:30 to 9 for your chance. That's this coming Monday on the Steve Cochran Show. Our good friend Wally, the world-traveling WGN listener, is in Stockholm. We'll check in with him right after this break.
Rocking the hits.
All that long.
I've been going with a theme. WGN. I'm waiting for one of you guys to catch on.
Oh, there is a theme here?
Yeah.
All right, let me see here real quick. So this is Ain't No Valley, what is this called? Ain't No Mountain High Enough?
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that we had the Jackson 5 with what song?
I Want You Back.
Jackson 5 with I Want You Back. And we had earlier, oh God, what did we have before
that? What was
that?
The one on the
last
one? Oh,
we had the Pina Colada song, right?
Yeah, at the beginning.
Are you going
and
through
then
a bad
the last
breakup,
one was the first song for Guardians of the Galaxy, Ooh Child.
Are you having a baby?
No.
No, Ooh I'm Child. Sure. I'm
things are going. Oh, it's for Jess. Things are going to get easier.
Oh, because Jess is out sick?
Yeah. Is that why?
No.
No. Actually, Roger, you said it. You just didn't even realize it.
What did I say? Who knows what
it's
comes
up? It's for Jess?
No.
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. Oh, for you, things are going to get easier?
No. No, these are all songs from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, my God,
soundtrack.
That's right. Oh, my God. I knew about the Ooh Child because I remember it's emblazoned in my brain, that opening segment.
I've been saving the best one because I knew that would give it
away.
Oh,
my gosh. All right.
It would have never been given away to me because I haven't seen any of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You have not seen. I'm coming down there. Forget the 4 o'clock news.
The Groot thing annoys the hell out of me. I'm Groot. Oh, God, I'm not watching that movie.
It's not that bad.
That's the most range Vin Diesel has had.
All right. Is Vin Diesel Groot?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the voice.
Yeah, that's a breakthrough for Vin.
It's hilarious. You will love it. Oh, we have to go watch it together sometime.
Oh, God. No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Oh, no.
Please.
Don't make me. No.
Come on. You will love it. It's
Patty
hilarious.
Patty was telling me during Crosstalk, right, that they've been watching every movie to lead up to. That sounds like torture to me.
It's not.
Now, there's some that I'd be willing to see. Granted, I would, but.
What
I
would you like to see?
All 19. I really want to see. So I've only seen a couple of the movies of those 19. I've probably seen a couple of them total. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen one of the Iron Man movies. I've seen bits and pieces of
Captain America.
No, that's the ones I really want to watch. I want to watch that first Captain America movie.
All right, then we'll watch it. I just watched it 2 weeks ago again.
But the Thor movies don't interest me. I've seen one of them where they were all together, like one of the first ones with the Hulk.
That's the Avengers.
The Avengers. I've seen an Avengers movie, I think. Okay. Or at least parts of it. I'm just not a Marvel guy.
What are you, a DC guy?
I love that Wonder Woman movie. I thought that was awesome.
That was great.
The Batman Superman movie, I didn't think it was as bad as everybody said. I didn't see the whole thing.
It was entertaining.
I thought it was too much.
Justice League was horrible.
I didn't see Justice League, but I heard bad things about it.
Yeah, it was horrible. And
oh no, that's what I'm talking about, right? Batman versus Superman was a movie,
right?
And then Justice League was a movie.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
And that got really bad reviews.
Yeah.
Hey, where's Ant-Man in all this? Is he
Marvel? Marvel. And there's a new one coming out, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. That's coming out. Is Ant-Man in this?
In the series, yes. He was in.
But is he in this movie that just came out with that has everybody?
No. He was not in Infinity Wars.
No?
He was not.
Roger, you haven't seen Infinity Wars yet?
I just got done watching Black Panther. I'm always behind because I wait till it comes out on TV.
He should be, after Ant-Man and Wasp come out later this year, he should be part of Infinity Wars 2.
Two, right.
Next year.
Oh, so the Infinity War didn't
Because he also can become, as in the comics, he's not just small, he now becomes Giant Man.
Yeah. Because he had his movie, and then he was in Captain America.
That was
Civil
a really
War.
Good movie. The Ant-Man movie was a really good movie.
It was fun.
Movie. I enjoyed it. All right, Wally's waiting in Stockholm. This is a long-distance call, everybody. He doesn't get to call collect, for goodness sake. He's got to listen to this. How are you, Wally? Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. It's great to hear you and the banter that you guys have.
You are in Stockholm. What is now? Is that's not where we talked to you last couple weeks ago, is it?
No, we've talked from Vatican City, we've talked from Switzerland, and we've talked from Ukraine. So this weekend I'm in Stockholm. So I've been working in Switzerland for, it'll be almost 2 months now. And then on the weekends I'm trying to take off if I can and just get somewhere else and just play a little tourist and sightseeing. So this weekend it's Stockholm, and it's a beautiful day here. And I'm right at the City Hall, which is interesting, kind of a central part of the city, and it's where they have the Nobel Peace Prize banquet. Every year.
Oh, my God.
I just got in last night. Yeah, it's really cool.
It's so funny because as we're going to break and I'm thinking he's in Stockholm and then I'm thinking, all right, wait a minute. Is that the Nobel Peace? And then I thought, no, it's Oslo, Norway. Why did I think that?
Maybe the announcements are made in Oslo. I don't know. But the banquet is here in Stockholm at the City Hall.
All right. So here's what you have to do. I was going to ask you to do this. Now, for the rest of the day, will you go around and say to people, hi, I'm from the United States. Are you looking forward to my president coming to accept the Peace Prize this year?
Okay, I will consider that, man. I'm not sure the reaction about that.
I'm really curious.
I must have missed that. I must have missed the announcement that he will be receiving one.
Because it hasn't been announced yet, but... seriously,
so is this breaking news?
Well, no, I mean, listen, if somehow out of this thing, June 12th in Korea comes, not only did we finally sign a peace treaty after all these years, but we're going to denuclearize and we're going to assume normal relations. I mean, if that happens, he's winning that thing, whether you think he deserves it or not.
Move him up in the list.
I'm telling you, Wally, I think there's a decent shot that man wins the Nobel Peace Prize. It's something that a year ago somebody would have said you're hilarious but for saying that, but there's a possibility if that happens. So I would actually, in all honesty, Wally, at some point today when you're having a conversation with somebody, say, hey, they're doing that North Korea thing. What if President Trump is here next year getting the Nobel Peace Prize? Would you be shocked by that? I'd love to see what people are saying there in Stockholm.
I will check for some people. I'll check with some people who are probably here in part of the City Hall or something. Most of the other people walking around are probably just like me as tourists, but I will check with somebody, I promise you, man. Right. I will report back to you.
That sounds good. Where will you be next? How much more time do you have before you get to come home, buddy?
So next weekend, I'm actually, this coming weekend, back in Switzerland. I go back tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I head home next Saturday. So okay. I will be actually in Switzerland next Saturday morning. And then I'll be home for a week and then actually off to Ukraine for 2 weeks.
So when we're doing the show next week, will you be waiting to get on a plane?
Pretty much, yes. Let me think about this. Yeah, my flight's... yes, or on my way to the airport, but I definitely can call you next
Saturday. All right.
If you'd like.
Let's check in next weekend when you're on the way to the airport, here. Okay?
Can you hear the bells here for 11 a.m.?
Oh, yeah.
I'm 7 hours ahead of you.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
cool. Excellent. Well, enjoy the day and have fun there and do something fun for us, okay?
I'll do it, man. Thank you. Have a great day and a great week.
You too, Wally. Thanks for checking in. That's our listener, Wally, the world traveler, who's always off working in other remote parts of the world. Crazy. But cool.
So yeah. We live vicariously for him.
So I was trying to look up what happens in Oslo for you.
Thank you.
And at their official site... for visitoslo.com.
Uh-huh.
They've got all these great things in Norway, like X Games Norway and Oslo Medieval Festival. There's a Pride Festival.
Okay.
There. So, I mean, there's some pretty big things going on here, a film festival. And then we get down the list to June, and it just says M&M.
Well, June is M&M month.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Norway Cup and all this great stuff, but no. Saturday, June 30th, M&M is performing in Oslo, Norway.
So there's nothing about the Nobel Prizes?
No.
All right. I'm gonna play. Normally, Roger Badish plays the librarian on the show.
Yeah, I was just saying, I lost my job.
Talks about them. But yeah. During this newscast, I'm going to find out. Something happens in Oslo, I'm telling you.
I'm going to keep searching. I want to know now, too.
Well, I'll keep working
Oslo,
on it.
Oslo, it's the guy, the husband from...
That's Otto.
No, it's Oslo.
Oh, and the...
It's Onslow. I'm
Adam's
sorry.
Family?
O-N-S-L, Onslow. Oh, it's Onslow.
In what?
It's from Keeping Up Appearances. It's a British comedy show. you would love it.
Oh, Roger.
You would love it.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Thank you, everybody. 4:09 in the morning, Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Ben Anderson, our producer, is featuring songs from Guardians of the Galaxy. Why Guardians of the Galaxy, by the way, Ben?
Because it's one of the greatest soundtracks ever.
It's a great mixtape. You got it.
Yeah.
You and I.
They've
have
been
to
good
sit
songs,
down.
I will give you that.
You will
I watch a night
love
group
it.
Thing.
We have. When are you free? Are you free Wednesday?
No. I am free. I'm going to get back to you on that one. 312-981-7200. We were talking to Wally, who was in Stockholm in Sweden. 815 writes, I hope your guest gets a chance to see the Vasa warship. It's an old wooden ship, and it sank on its maiden voyage and was covered with mud, and then they recovered it 300 years later. So, Wally, if you're still listening at all, turn down the radio and head out and see the Vasa, the old wooden warship that sunk 300 years ago. All right, why did I think Oslo was where the Peace Prize was when Wally was saying that they have the Nobel dinner in Stockholm, Sweden? I have an answer for you. We'll tell you after this, 720 WGN. This is a wide-ranging soundtrack, to say the least.
It's so good.
How deep is your love? Is that what this is?
I'm Not in Love by 10cc.
I gotta hear this kick in now.
It's a good morning song.
I'm not in love. Who is this, 10cc?
Uh-huh.
Are they a one-hit wonder?
Pretty much.
God, I would have thought this is like somebody that we know from a million songs.
They only had a couple of songs. But they were big.
Fly to the front of the line at Lit Fest on June 9th and 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/FestPass. Okay, So listener Wally's in Stockholm, Sweden. He said where they have the Nobel Prize dinner. And I said, hey, God, I was thinking about that, but I thought that's Oslo. So here's what I found out. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences awards the Nobel Prize in Physics, the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, and the Sveriges Riksbank Prize in Economic Sciences in memory of Alfred Nobel, known as the Nobel Prize for Economics. All the awards started in 1901. The economics one was added in 1968. The Nobel Assembly at Karolinska Institute awards the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine. The Swedish Academy grants the Nobel Prize in Literature. And the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded not by a Swedish organization, but by the Norwegian Nobel Committee. So the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, would actually be coming out of Oslo.
Oh, okay.
That is in Oslo, because I also looked up Oslo. And
so
they,
it comes out of a couple of places. All the awards are distributed.
They're kind of, it says the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony is headed by the Institute. The award ceremony is held annually in the City Hall in Oslo on the 10th of December.
And the Nobel Prize for Literature is not being given out this year.
That's what somebody texted, because of corruption? What the hell is that about? Who's corrupt? The Nobel Prize Committee?
The Russians were involved with that one, too.
Are we dead serious about that? Wait, are you serious, Ben?
No, I don't know. But that would be great.
Fake news. Thanks, Ben. This is the problem with the media.
I never give you fake news when I do the lookup. no, but I get my job back now. I believe it was charges of...
like, were publishers paying off people
sexual,
on the thing or something?
Sexual discrimination.
Seriously?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. Hey, librarian.
Ben, could you look that up, what the corruption was in the Nobel Prize for Literature? Nobel Prize for Literature.
Right. Nobel Prize for Literature is not being given out this year.
Man.
Yeah.
That stinks.
And that was within the past week, I want to say.
They just announced that?
Yeah.
Man, I missed that.
Yeah.
815, the Guardians of the Galaxy second movie is subtitled Volume 2 because of the mixtape that is given to him by his mother.
That's right.
The music really plays into the movie itself, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, fits right in. You'll love it.
I'll hate it.
No, you will love it.
773 says, yes, Wisconsin trip. You guys come with too. Weekend shows with you are the best. Oh, 331 says Mr. Fixit's been trying to do a show from there for at least 2 years.
Really? We got to beat him.
What if we get to go to Ishnala before Lou does?
That
Lou
would be awesome.
Would have a heart attack.
Yep.
We're coming for you, Manfredini. Coming for you.
Yeah, you got to, we got to go see together Guardians of the Galaxy 1. I'll tell you why. It was the first movie that I went to see in the theater, because you know how much I hate going to theaters. First movie I saw in the theater, and Bridget came along, after like most of my chemos. I think after the chemo was over. I remember the beginning part just struck me, the very beginning. And when you see it, you'll understand why. And I'm just going to say that. So it means a lot to me. Of all the superhero Marvel comics,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's funny because when that first came out, Chris Pratt, who hadn't been in a lot of stuff yet at the time outside of Parks and Rec, I don't know, it just seemed like a little kid's movie because of the Groot thing and stuff like that.
No, it's good for adults. Adults loved it.
And do the Guardians have a good role in Infinity Wars?
They're in it. I have not seen it.
Oh, God. How did you not go see that right away?
I don't have time. I'm like you. I'm a senior version of you. I don't have time. I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Fair enough. I came up with a great movie this week. I already had a movie in my head.
Okay.
That I'm... Here's my little fantasy room. You know I have these fantasy rooms.
Yes, I do.
I drive in, I see how much the Powerball is worth, and I go off in my fantasy world. I also have fantasies about making movies.
All right.
And my goal at Black Dog is someday we actually make enough money that we're not dead broke. And then also we put enough aside that we go make a small budget movie,
mm-hmm.
like $20,000 or $30,000.
Not wrong with that.
Small budget. And I've had one in my head that I've written out the treatment for. I haven't written out the script, but my business partner and I argue about it all the time because he says, well, nothing happens in this movie. And I say, well, no, it's Hitchcockian suspense. And he says, no, nothing happens. And so we argue about that quite a bit. But I came up with a new
one. Don't give it away.
I'm not
going to
give away anything.
No.
I'm not giving away anything, but I'm very excited about this.
And if you want to, I have people who will help you make it.
How so?
Well, seeing as how my students
have gone
into Chicago Vocational Career Academy, who have won 4 local Emmy Awards and 2 national Emmy Awards for their short film work.
Oh.
Yes, I have one who is making films. She actually was in with Justin Kaufman one time to talk about her latest film.
Oh, cool.
It was called Sunday.
Okay.
I have another who does soundtracks.
Oh, very cool.
I have another who's a cinematographer who is great with camera. I have another from Clemente High School who just shot a film on the East Coast, and it's in film festivals now. I know a casting director who can set that up for you.
Look at you, Roger. You know people.
I know people.
Well, I got to write a script first and get money. And then all these things.
Don't worry about the money.
All this stuff gets in the way. I don't know what it is.
You don't need the money. You can pay by food. That's how we did it.
I don't think your former students are going to appreciate that you're selling them out for food.
Trust me. They will love you for it. Especially if it's Papa Nino's Pizza.
Matt Bubala Show, 720 WGN. 4:24 in the morning. Matt Bubala here with you. 720 WGN. Orion Samuelson will be coming up with the morning show here in about 36 minutes. Ben, do you have an answer for us on what in the world's going on with the Nobel Prize for Literature?
I do.
Okay.
So it's a good old fashioned sex scandal. so the Swedish Academy is the body that gives out the Nobel Prizes.
Right.
And a French photographer who attended many of the events is facing multiple claims of sexual assault and harassment, and includes touching Sweden's Crown Princess Victoria inappropriately at an event. So I guess because of all this misconduct is created... a situation where they're cutting ties with this guy, and the Academy wants to postpone.
I don't understand. So I'm reading a story from the San Diego Union Tribune, which is just a column somebody wrote about whether or not it made sense to do what they did. This person writes, the decision comes in response to a scandal. In November, Jean-Claude Arnault, husband of a member of the Academy, was accused of sexually assaulting and harassing 18 women over 20 years. Subsequently, several Academy members resigned or were forced out. The jury is in disarray. The solution, take a year off and name 2 winners in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, the French are involved, so it makes no sense anyways.
But it was a jury member's husband? I mean, I understand they did this because a bunch of people resigned, but I want to get the backstory on this. Why does everybody, a jury member's husband... this is all over the place. It's not like a jury member was, you know, I could see if, you know, somebody on the jury was harassing and assaulting people and this and that, and so we need to re-figure out everything, but a jury member's husband was doing this?
Well, but you have to see if there was any cover-up, if the jury member was complicit in the cover-up, if it affected any other members of the committee in any direct or indirect way. So
apparently it was.
It's
princess was groped apparently, and why wasn't the Swedish Secret Service doing their job? Yeah, I mean, there's all types of stuff.
Sounds like there's more to the story.
Yeah.
Might have to follow this up next weekend. All right, 312-981-7200 is our number. It's also the text in line, and we'll take a break and do the news next on 720 WGN. Red Sox pitcher David Price has carpal tunnel syndrome. and they're trying to evaluate and see how they're going to handle everything. He is an avid, that's not a common injury for pitchers, carpal tunnel. It's typing. That's doing same repetitive motions with your fingers over and over again.
And that's what I had in high school.
Including playing video games. David Price is a huge video game player. And he had earlier this year said Fortnite, which I don't know, Roger, if you don't have a young child in your life, you may not know, is the video game of the moment.
I have been hearing about that. I don't
online.
Know the game. But
my kids want to do it all the time, mm-hmm. and it's annoying. he has not pitched since May 3rd. He's scheduled to return. Wait, what? When was this story from? May 10th. He is scheduled to return Saturday, so today at Toronto. He insists that while video games may have contributed to the condition, they're not the origin of the swelling in his left thumb, index finger, and middle finger. He says, this is just something that happened over time that didn't stem from any one thing. I'm born in 1985, so that's the video games generation. Being a Red Sox is the least amount of video games I've ever played in Major League Baseball. But earlier this year, he said Fortnite had kind of taken over, and it is apparently an addicting game, and we have an athlete making hundreds of millions of dollars being sidelined, quite possibly because of video games. 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. Earlier, we were talking about the Phoenix woman who sent 65,000 text messages, and there was more to that story, and then we got distracted because we're like dogs that see a squirrel run by. Police arrested 31-year-old Jacqueline Adis. I'm not sure on the pronunciation, on May 8th, charged her with threatening, stalking, harassment, and failure to appear in court. She discussed the allegations on Thursday during a jailhouse interview with local CBS affiliate KPHO-TV. Quote, I felt like I met my soulmate, and I thought we would just do what everybody else did, and we would get married, and everything would be fine, she said, adding that she met the man on Luxy, an online dating site for verified millionaires. She said she sent her date so many texts because, quote, loving him selflessly brought me his information. According to police, many of the text messages she selflessly sent included anti-Semitic insults and threats like, don't ever try to leave me. I'll kill you. I don't want to be a murderer. I don't want to be a murderer.
Don't
ever
make
leave
me do that.
She also wrote, I hope you die. She wrote, oh, what I would do with your blood. I'd want to bathe in it. She has been sending as many as 500 messages a day since last year, but her efforts to connect with her former date became more extreme last month. That's when she allegedly broke into the man's home and took a bath in his tub. She also showed up at his work pretending to be his wife. That's where it gets a little scary. She's due in court May 15th, will be represented by a public defender, being held without bond. She acknowledged that sending 65,000 text messages seemed like a lot, but she told the station she thought she'd sent more. Only 65,000?
Huh. You know, I thought it after 64,599, you kind of lose track.
You kind of, my data plan ran out and I didn't know. She added, love is an excessive thing. Are we still on Guardians of the Galaxy? Is Owner of a Lonely Heart? No.
No.
Ran out?
No. No, I felt Owner of a Lonely Heart was more appropriate for this
for the 65,000 text messages?
Yeah.
The topic of concussions in kids is an important one, of course. Listen to the Steve Cochran Show, 6:40 a.m. on Monday, when Dr. Kevin Most explains if banning contact sports before the age of 12 matters. Mm. Whatever happened with that bill that went through Illinois that was going to ban contact football, tackle football before 12?
I don't think it's been passed yet.
It's not passed, at least as of yet, right?
No.
I never let any of my children play tackle football. And Tommy really wants to.
Really? Why can't they just play flag football?
No, they can, but that's not the same. It's
please.
Just not the same.
It's
I
the same. It's
that.
A game.
Well, why can't they just go play hopscotch? That's like me saying, Dad, can I go play tackle football? No, go play hopscotch. It's the same.
Yeah.
Flag football and tackle football are as different as football and hopscotch.
Yes.
So,
but you're still running. You're still running and chasing someone with the football and trying to score a touchdown. I've played both,
hopscotch and
no,
football?
I'm not. Well, yeah, hopscotch, but no, flag football and regular football, tackle football.
Yeah,
without the equipment.
Yeah, well, they're
which
two
explains
very different
a lot.
Things.
By the way, I've got it.
Finally.
I've got how we're going to get to Ishnella.
Oh, you do? Okay. How are we getting to Ishnella?
It's their 65th anniversary.
That's a good tie-in.
And they opened 1 year after I was born. Okay. For what it's worth. But it's their 65th.
That's selling them on it, but we go with the 65th anniversary.
65th anniversary.
Yeah. On beautiful Mirror Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's work on it. You know what you and I have to do? We have to talk about it during the week sometime. Because then we can actually run it by a boss here.
Yeah, who do we have to, like, you know, corner in an office?
I will try to buy some Starbucks for Stephanie.
Ooh.
And I'll come in and woo her a little
bit.
There you go. And see if we can start greasing those skids. See what happens.
Better you than me, because, like, I'm too old.
Too old to grease any skids?
Too old to woo anyone.
I'm too old to woo, too. But that's why I'm bringing the coffee.
Okay.
312-981-7200. We'll check in with Orion in just a little bit here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala with you for a few more minutes here. We'll check in with Orion in just a minute or two. Tom from Forest Park had called in saying that the text message story reminded him of a certain movie with Michael Douglas. I think he thought it was Meryl Streep. It was actually Glenn Close with him and, of course, what, Roger?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. I will not be ignored, Dan. I remember that very well. That's where the Boylan and the Bunnies came from.
Yep.
During the break, I was looking this up because I was thinking about the John McCain discussion we had earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain's camp, or however it got leaked out, that he doesn't want Trump at his funeral.
Right.
And that you arranged
Pence is
or
okay,
asked,
but
for,
not Trump.
Asked for Pence to be there, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
Is it presumptuous for a congressperson to assume that the president or vice president would be at their funeral? I don't know that. McCain is certainly an American war hero, you know, despite mm-hmm. what was said earlier by Trump and things like that. I mean, he served forever. He's run for president. So there's a lot there. But I was looking up, you know, who has died in office. I was thinking, well, maybe a congressperson, maybe that's extremely rare. And of course, the president would be there. I don't know. But I'm looking here. Congress people that have died in office: Louise Slaughter, March 16th, 2018. She was in the 25th district from New York. Mark Takei from Hawaii in 2016. Alan Nunnally from Mississippi in February. These are the last senator would be Frank Lautenberg. He was 89. June 3rd, 2013. I don't know if it makes a difference that you're a senator or not, but I just wondered, well, you know, is it surprising that he's making those plans and assuming that...
Well, I've never heard of a politician on the national scene publicly make plans for their funeral. Now, some have died after a quick illness. They aren't public right. about the plans and stuff, but... But again, I think it would depend, even with a national politician, the relationship they have with certain people.
Right.
Just in general, like maybe they worked on a bill together or whatever. I don't think it's a protocol thing.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So Pence and McCain worked together for many years. But McCain doesn't have a history with President Trump.
Not a good one.
As far as a personal relationship.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. That's for sure. All right. We're going to say hi to Orion after this, 720 WGN.